And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, not Mother Earth. I thought I was getting into a better mood, but maybe not. Also, we'll look at this concept, out of this world. Ever heard that expression? Out of this world. We're going to have Margie Ross, president of Regnery Publishing. She's going to be joining us live to discuss the fake news of the New York Times bestseller list. And then we'll close it out with a brand new DDD, very unique, called No Common Use.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then, David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. All these years, this could happen. Was a proud man, thought I made a stand. But now I'm down on my knees.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Now, there's a place where all your Christian programs reside. All the best Christian radio stations live there. Find your local Christian station or look for one farther away that plays the program you like. ChristianRadio.com not only links you to the best Christian radio stations in America, like this one, but also podcasts of great uplifting content designed to grow your faith. Find us now and download the app on either Apple or Android devices. It's the difference maker in your daily walk. ChristianRadio.com.
In a time when the church faces significant cultural change, who will remind us of what really matters? Who will help us stand for the truth when the truth is no longer popular? At the 12th annual KPRZ Pastors Appreciation Luncheon on Thursday, October 5th, we have a seat reserved for you at City View Church in Mission Valley, along with every other pastor in San Diego County. Receive encouragement from an experienced leader who has walked in your shoes, one who understands the challenges you didn't learn about in seminary. Dr. Robert Jeffress is a best-selling author, the pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, and the host of Pathway to Victory, a national radio and television ministry.
The role of the pastor is more critical than it is today.
Shoulder to shoulder we stand, for there's more we have in common than what divides us. Lead on, Pastor. We're with you.
The 12th annual KPRZ Pastors Appreciation Luncheon is sponsored by City View Church and the French Gourmet. Reserve your seat at kprz.com or on the KPRZ mobile app.
This is John MacArthur. Join me for today's Portraits of Grace. When the writer of Hebrews said that faith is the conviction of things not seen, he was implying that we will respond to what we believe to be true. James put it this way, faith without works is useless. In other words, a non-responsive faith is no faith at all. Now we can look to Noah as an example of responsive faith. God told him to build a boat in the desert. There was no logical reason to do that, but he obeyed God. He followed God's instruction and did it. It was 120 years of hard work and ridicule he went through it all because he believed God. His work was a testimony to his faith. I pray that the choices you make will be a similar testimony. This is John MacArthur encouraging you to live as portraits of grace.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through to kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing your seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
So I come to you, my friend.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Do want to remind you, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. An excellent way to do that, since just thinking those thoughts probably won't get through to me since I wear a tinfoil hat. Just letting you know so that you can be aware. Traffic outside is a little tough. Weather outside's kind of nice. Just want to let you be aware of that. If you're in the car and listening by any chance, just use a little extra patience. It's really hard day after day to do the bumper driving. But then again, if you took 10 extra minutes during that drive and spent that just talking to God, you might get a little bit of a plus out of that whole thing, right? Then you wouldn't have to come to work or go home and be Mr. or Mrs. or Mr. or Miss Grumpy, right? Because grumpy, that's a bummer. You don't want to be a pro at bringing people low. That's a bummer. Don't be good at that. Be bad at that. All right, so we are going to, some people are thinking, you know, we covered that last hour. We had a lot of stuff we talked about. We did cover a little bit on the earthquakes and what that potentially could mean for believers. We're going to take this hour and go a completely different direction, kind of, maybe a sideways direction. We do have Margie Ross. She's going to be on the show at 3:30. Excited to have her. Always good to have her. She is the president of the largest conservative book publishing company in the United States of America. And we are hopeful that when we get a chance to talk to her, she will help us understand what is going on in the publishing industry. It is pretty bizarre. But before we get there, and as we are oft to do, I want to talk about this first thing called Not Mother Earth. Not Mother Earth. Here we go. Ready? Exodus chapter 9, verse 29. Moses said to him, "As soon as I go out of the city, I will lift up my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth belongs to the Lord." All right now, for all those people that are going around calling it Mother Earth, you are biblically incorrect. All right now. For all those people that are extremely afraid of climate change, and by the way, climate change, just so you can know, the word climate means weather patterns, okay, just so you can know, that's what it means. So when somebody says, well, climate change doesn't have to do with weather, just sit down, shake your head, and then maybe just, you know, watch Bugs Bunny. Because the reality is it has everything to do with it. But the question is a Bible believer, do you need to be concerned about the climate change? Because, wait. The climate change ultimately leads to global warming. And global warming ultimately leads to the ice caps being melted. And the ice caps being melted ultimately leads to the world being flooded. Here's the problem with that. In Genesis, God said he will never flood the earth again. That's the problem. If you're a Bible believer, you can't believe any of that. It's ridiculous. Well, it doesn't mean it's going to flood the... No, that's the whole point, that the ice caps are falling apart, even though they grew by, 60% in one region. Nobody knows how, but they did. Amazing. But the point is, the Earth can't flood again. Can't flood again. So when the people are talking about Mother Earth, it's like, okay, let's get a few things straight. Earth is God's property, number one. Number two, God calls Earth his footstool. So before you think the Earth is the center of the universe, consider what God calls Earth and then adjust appropriately. But the most important thing is to understand this one element, that pollution and all of the things that they're calling pollution, all of the stuff in the air and all of the stuff in the ground and all of the stuff that we're doing is really, it's not that people should love it, but that's not what God calls pollution. That's the thing. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 4 through 6. The earth mourns and withers. The world wastes away and withers. The exalted people of the earth waste away. The earth is polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed teachings, overstepped decrees, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse has consumed the earth, and the inhabitants have become guilty. The earth's inhabitants have been burned, and only a few survive. The earth is polluted. That is correct. Because we have transgressed the teachings of God. That's why the earth is polluted. Because the land is holy, and we have stained it with sin. We have overstepped God's decrees. We have stepped beyond God into our own authority, just like Adam and Eve, thinking it'd be cool just to be like God. So we'll eat the fruit. Yay! Now we're like God. Isn't that great? We've ruined everything. Fantastic. And oh, by the way, it says, and broke the everlasting covenant. Uh-oh. Wait, a covenant is an agreement. And the covenant was between God and the people. And the people broke the covenant. And because of that, the earth is polluted. Now, I know what you got going on. You got the Indian guy in your head during the commercial having a tear come down the side of his eye, even though he's not Indian, just so you can know the fact he's actually not a blood Indian. That one thing has nothing to do with the other. That pollution, that's not the problem. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, those are the problems. Death, rape, stealing, lying, those are the problems. Idol worship, human self-worship, human sacrifice, covetousness, those are the problems to God. And since God created the earth, he gets to determine what pollutes the earth. Not you, not me, not us, not the scientists, not the teachers, not the government. God. Because the earth is the Lord's. And so he says, not a mother. It's my property. It's my footstool. And you guys, you're making it dirty. You're making it dirty by transgressing my teachings. You're making it dirty by overstepping my decrees. And you're making it dirty by breaking my covenant. And there's going to be a price to pay for that. And people think, there is going to be a price to pay for that. Ironically, Scripture indicates that the price to pay when the world ends the time around that it's going to end has more to do with fire than it does with water, which I think is the ultimate irony. They're calling for a global warming, and they're calling for the global warming to melt the ice caps, and everything's going to get flooded, and God's like going, it's going to burn with heat. Like, wait, that's the opposite of what God said. Uh-huh. Yeah, that is the opposite. Let's do this. Let's do this God's way. And when we come back, let's look at what he says are some of the real specifics of pollution and see if we stack into it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Pastor Ray Bentley invites you to Maranatha Chapel in San Diego to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets Wednesday, September 20th at 7 p.m. This unique celebration is a tradition for the family at Maranatha. It's an inspirational reminder and rehearsal of end times prophecy. Pastor Ray offers a biblical look at the Feast of Trumpets and a special message. For information and directions, go to events.maranathachapel.org or call 858-613-7800.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. In 2017, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel next fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many other historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renewed vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead the tour. 4 and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit ExperienceIsraelTour.com. That's ExperienceIsraelTour.com.
The goal is not to have perfect kids.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and while many of us want perfection from our children, Dr. Robert Lewis explains that we need a different goal.
The goal is to have competent adults who can stand there with their wounds and their scars, but also with their successes and what they learned along the way to be able to stand and live for Jesus Christ in an honorable way, even with all that. And the minute we try to make it perfection, we've already made a mistake. You're raising a flawed child as a flawed parent who's going to have a spotty track record. That's it. Just expect that. But the goal is to get them to an honorable adulthood where with all that, they can bring glory to God.
So parent with the end goal in mind. More encouragement from Dr. Lewis at FamilyMinute.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You know who we have not said hi to in a long time? Mr. Peabody. We have not said hello to Mr. Peabody in such a long time. Mr. Peabody, how you doing? You know, right now his ears are just popping up. His ears, that took that long for Agent Squires to figure out he was talking about a dog. What do you want? Hello, Mr. Peabody. How you doing? Okay. All right, let's get to the next segment. It's not Losing Our Mindsville yet. Wait, we still have a half hour to go. So we have been discussing not Mother Earth. This whole Mother Earth thing, you know, love your mother. Well, you should love your mother, as the scripture says, but that doesn't happen to be the planet. Okay, I know it's cute. And oh, Mother Nature. And listen, you know, Parquet was a funny commercial, you know? It's like, Parquet, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Of course, Mother Nature now sounds like a demon, but we won't talk about that in the commercial. Let's let that part alone. So then we talked about understanding that the real concept from God about pollution has to do with transgressed teachings, overstep decrees, and broken covenants. I understand what the tree huggers are saying. They're just wrong. I mean, I don't care. I don't dislike them. I like people that like trees. I like people that like wood. I like people that like fires. I like people that like wood in fires, which was a Christmas tree. I got a great Christmas tree story. I'll tell it in the future, just not right now. But this next segment's called Out of This World. And you're thinking, out of this world. Where are you going to go from out of this world? Thank you for asking me that. I do appreciate it. Here is what I want to give you. Numbers chapter 35, verse 33. Numbers 35, 33. Here's what the scripture says. So you shall not pollute the land in which you are. Now see, if you're a TV cable host, you would just stop there and go, see? Pollution is bad. That's exactly what they do. But that's not what the whole thing says. It says this, for you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no substitute can be made for the land, for that the blood is shed upon it, and the only substitute is blood itself. You see, here's the thing. There is this nuance that blood is the greatest polluter of earth. Now, for those who are super spiritual, you might catch, wait, didn't Jesus have to shed his blood? Yeah, we'll get to that another time. It's really great theologically. But blood, human blood, that is from murder. By the way, murder is not killing. It does not say thou shalt not kill, although you don't blame King James for saying that because that was the word that they had. It's thou shalt not murder. So there's a big difference between murder and kill. What's kill? Well, kill is when you have warfare and soldiers are dying and they're killing one another. That's not murder. That's called warfare. Murder is premeditated, ceasing somebody's lifespan here on earth without any cause or purpose except for your own sinfulness. That's not the same thing. So when you spill blood through murder or inappropriate deaths, you pollute the land. That's nothing bizarre. When you kill a baby in the womb and that blood drips and it goes into the little system and the system goes to the septic and the septic goes to the earth, you just spilled innocent blood on the land. Period. And people are like, wait, no, nothing. Leviticus spends, and we're not going to cover it because I don't have the time, but Leviticus spends a good 9 verses in a row talking about the other things that pollute the land, like homosexuality and adultery. Hey, listen, people that talk about homosexuality at the time and never talk about adultery, that's ridiculous. That's just as bad. There's not, oh, homosexuality is worse because it does this and does this and does this. Hey, adultery is as bad as it is going to get. That's why it's in the 10. It's like, come on. It's like, don't do that. You're going to ruin everybody's life around you. Stop it. And they should, and the church should preach about that. And oh, by the way, fornication right there. You're thinking, what's the difference between fornication and adultery? Adultery is when you are married and in a covenant, and you break that covenant. Fornication is when you have sex, not just kissy, kissy, but you have sex, and we are talking sex. When you do that outside of a marital context, outside of blessing ordination, outside of the permission base of the community, that's what it is. You can't change it.
Oh, I don't like that.
Tough. Nobody cares. It's what it is. And when we sin, we're polluting. Now you think, well, why does that matter? Here's why it matters. I'm gonna tell you why. Because we don't want this planet rebuilt. There is a fallacy in the theologies all over the place. Revelation 21:1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Our deepest hope of life is a new heaven and a new earth. No band-aids, no recycling solutions. The scriptures are absolutely clear. The land is defiled by sinful acts of humanity, not a candy wrapper or car emissions, and a reprocessed or reconditioned earth won't work. Why? Because there's sin in it. That's why. And 2 Peter 3:13 says, in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Why? Because there's no sin in the land. Ding, 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 ding. My eyes are going to pop out of my head. And see, what everybody's doing, they're doing this whole thing on you know, the earth and, you know, that stewardship. The stewardship is for the gospel. God has given the greatest message ever to humanity, saying, take this message to the farthest parts of the earth and tell people there is redemptive hope. It's not trying to make a nicer place out of New Jersey. You got to be kidding me. I want a new heaven and a new earth. Now, why does there have to be a new heaven with new earth? I don't know. God didn't tell us, really. I assume because in the old one, Satan had access in some capacity to heaven because he's able to accuse the saints. In Revelation chapter 12, he gets thrown out of heaven. I assume the new heavens will just have no traces of Satan, period. I think that's probably a good reason. People out there are thinking, Dave's on a tear. Here's how this goes. The bigger problem is that we don't see that it's a sin problem. We'll do racism and talk about racism until you want to throw up. But it's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. We'll talk about people being easily offended. But again, love is not easily offended. So therefore, they're just not operating in love, period. There's not enough cheese to cover all the whiners that are taking place on the planet. It's not worth it. But what there is this hope, not to be offensive entirely, just partly. A hope does not consist of a future where you can have sex 72 times with a virgin, which, of course, after you do, they will not be virgins. Okay? So you get 72 times you have sex. I'm not figuring that out at all. I'm married. Our lives together are better now that we've been together. Not the first couple of times. It's the last couple of times. And so the idea that that's the idea of heaven, that's horrible. It's like horrendous. How about this? How about we explore all these different elements in the universe that God has created, and he shows us all these different things that he wanted to teach us the first time, but instead of us sinning in the process, we'll do something fascinating. We'll fellowship with God through the process as he teaches us piece by piece by piece what he's like, what he's all about, and we get closer and closer and closer to. How much better is that than sex 72 times that ends up the 73rd time? It's terrible. It's ridiculous. I mean, are you serious? That's the best you got? And listen, I don't blame some people for going, well, you guys got harps on clouds with magazines from dentist's office. Yeah, that's bad too. I agree with you. It's horrible. People ought to recognize that that book says a lot more than what's being preached about in a pulpit. Read it. See Dick Run. Try that. It's fantastic. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience. Here on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the importance of children being exposed to the gospel.
Children age 5 to 13 have a 32% probability of accepting Jesus Christ. A 32%, that's basically 1 in 3. You move up a little bit into the teen years between 14 and 18, they only have a 4% probability of becoming a Christian. And once they advance into adulthood, 19 and above, it ticks up slightly to 6% probability. So those three categories, 6% for adults, 4% for teens, 32% for children ages 4 to 14. Is there any wonder that the atheists are doing everything they can to keep children from hearing the good news?
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Now, folks, you are in for a real treat, because Margie's been on our show before. It was like 16 months ago, maybe. It was a while back. Her and I had a chance to talk about this. And now Regnery Publishing is, I'm so thankful, I just can't even begin to tell you, taking a stand in regards to the New York Times and their bestsellers list, because apparently people at the New York Times have an incapability. They're not capable of counting. They don't know how to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They've lost their ability to do it, and all of their lists are just like, what? So we want her to talk about this. Are you there with us? Margie, are you hanging out with us on the phone?
David, I am here and delighted to be with you today.
Yeah, it's my privilege. It's great to have you on. I love having you on. Last time we talked, I even listened to it. It was so good. You really are great.
Thank you.
Talk to me about this. New York Times, we don't know how to count because apparently sometimes in New York the pollution is so bad that we have lost our brains. What is going on with that?
That's one explanation. That's one good explanation. Yeah. You know, this is something that we have been frustrated by for years. And it's not just Regnery. It's other conservative publishers, other conservative books and authors, and frankly, even non-political books. There have been numerous occasions where the following thing has happened. The books that have sold the best, the most number of copies in a given week, somehow don't end up as the books ranked the highest on the New York Times bestseller list. And so this happened to us just recently with one of our brand new books, a book by Dinesh D'Souza called The Big Lie. Mm-hmm. And for 2 weeks in a row, this book, The Big Lie, sold more copies than any other book on the New York Times bestseller list. And yet 1 week it was ranked at number 7 on the New York Times list, and 1 week it was ranked at number 8. And to be honest, we just got fed up. We said, you know what, this is ridiculous. Enough is enough. We no longer want to have anything to do with this brand. And so we've decided to take a stand, as you said, and we've decided to do the following. We are no longer going to print the New York Times bestseller banner on the covers of any of our best-selling books. We're going to take it out of our marketing. We're going to take it out of our publicity. We're going to take it out of our brochures. We're going to take it off our website. We've even gone so far as to say we are going to change the author agreements that we have that give bonuses for hitting the bestseller list. We're even going to change our employment agreements where we have people that get bonuses on helping put books onto the bestseller list. And all of those things we're going to change. We're going to excise the New York Times bestseller list from all of that and replace it with a list that we feel is more accurate and more honest about reporting sales throughout the country.
You are one of the best presidents of a company in the United States of America, bar none. You are fantastic because this stuff is so incredible that you would, like, we had Dinesh on. It, you know, the book, whether they like it at the New York Times or not, is not the relevancy to a best, but to the bestsellers list. And they just stop. They stop counting. And it's like, how do you get to do that? So what I want to know is, who is in charge? I'm so happy you're doing this. I just, whatever you guys do, whatever list you guys create, whatever you guys put together, you just let us know on the show. We'll give you as much publicity as we can because we think that's the way to go. What?
Thank you.
What group in the New York Times? Now, I was born and raised Jewish, so I get to say this. You probably can't say what I'm about to say, but what group is going to the deli, having corned beef, and losing their minds that they can't figure out that what they're doing is inappropriate? Is it a big group of people? Is it editorial? Is it just, well, what is it?
You know, the fascinating part about this whole thing is that every time we have complained to the New York Times bestseller list, when we feel that we've been treated unfairly, or even just ask the question, how did you come up with this? Their answer is that the formula that they use for calculating their bestseller list is a secret. So, I know. So that's pretty convenient.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to have a discussion or even to present facts that in the face of someone saying, well, it's a secret. So, I think, frankly, most people throughout the country know that the New York Times has a left-leaning slant, you know, that their editorial page has a liberal bent. And, fair enough, if they want to have a liberal bent on their editorial page, that's their right. And that, you know, most people, I think, believe that there's even a liberal slant to their news coverage. But the last place you expect to find any kind of bias, any kind of political bias or any bias at all, is on the bestseller list, a list that, you know, should just be driven by the numbers. And the number one book should sell more than the number two book, should sell more than the number three book. And we just think that's more fair and more accurate. And that's, unfortunately, time and again, not what happens when you look at the New York Times bestseller list.
You know, I'd love you guys to get a recording of that when they say that the process is secret, so that when I do my taxes and send it to the government, they say, how'd you come up with that? I'm going to go, it's a secret. It's like, that's going to be my reply.
That's great.
It's a secret. I can't tell you, but this is the number. Right. Trust me. It's just so bizarre because it's like, now what do people do from here? Because I know the audience is listening. And first of all, sure. Regnery, number one, I mean, you guys are the number one conservative publisher, and you guys are like, so you're kind of leading the way. I guess question number one, you getting any blowback from this? You getting any people freaking out, or is this being well received?
Well, it's being very well received, and we were a little concerned. We understand that this is a kind of a risky thing to do. And we realized, we discussed this at great length in our office before we finalized this decision, because we know that there can be a cost. But we just felt it was the right thing to do. It was the principled thing to do. And the wonderful thing is that I have heard from scores of authors and business colleagues and even people I don't know. And every single one of them has said, bravo, well done, it's about time. So that's been really encouraging.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That right there, it should be encouraging because it is about time. It's just going nutsy on the other side of things. What should our listeners do? Now, they need to go, if they want to get some of the books from Regnery, they don't really need to go to the New York Times bestseller list anyway. So they just need to hook up with you guys directly. But what can they do to show support? You know, they can purchase the books. Is there a place where a website or places they can go where people can say, hey, we love these guys? You know, is there some way they
Well, we'd love to have people come to our website, which is just regnery.com. Of course, we love people to support our books and support our authors. And as you say, you can easily do that without paying any attention at all to the New York Times bestseller list or to reading the New York Times at all. And you know, really our goal is to educate people, to spread the word so that people understand that if they want to really know which books are the most popular, which books are selling the best across the country each week, unfortunately, the New York Times bestseller list is simply not the best way to find that out. And, you know, there's one of our sister companies, the Conservative Book Club. Every week they publish a conservative bestseller list. That's a terrific list to follow. That list is driven purely by the numbers. It is based on BookScan data, which is a third-party Nielsen company that tracks book sales every week. And that's a great way to keep track of conservative books. And for the nationwide bestseller list that tracks all books, conservative, not conservative, left, right, center, and everything else, we're going to be using the Publishers Weekly list, because they base their list purely on BookScan data, which we think is the fair and accurate way to go.
Yeah, that's just absolutely fantastic. So is it going to be, you know, Publishers Weekly bestseller list kind of mentality?
That's
is
right.
What's going to, wow. I mean, that's just that's as right. easy it can go, only you won't have all of the, I don't want to say the word perversion, but that's one that comes to mind. You won't have all the weird stuff that's going on there at the New York Times. All right. Now, okay. can I ask you a question? And you don't have to give me an answer because I'm putting you on the spot, and I tend to do that. But do you have any books that are coming out in the next like month or so that you're going, wait till this book comes out? You know what I'm saying? You got stuff that's coming?
Of course I do. We always have books that are coming that are hopefully going to be provocative and explosive and popular and future Publishers Weekly bestsellers. I'll tell you about a couple of them. We have a book coming out later this month that we think is going to be a lot of fun. It's called How Alexander Hamilton Screwed Up America. And our tagline is, don't believe everything you hear in a Broadway musical. We do history books, and we like to take an interesting look at history and talk about history from a point of view that some people don't, especially, you know, unfortunately, people in academia. And, you know, Alexander Hamilton is celebrated, but he was a big government guy, and he was not in favor of limited government, not a Federalist. And so we have a book coming out telling the other side of the Alexander Hamilton story. And then in October, we have a blockbuster coming. We have another big book coming from the multiple best-selling author, Ed Klein. And this book is called All Out War: The Plot to Destroy Donald Trump.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. You got to have him come on the show. That's cool. We got to have that.
Absolutely.
That's just awesome. See, I like you because you do this stuff, and I think you have a lot of courage to go, yeah, we don't care. I love it. Like, that's the way. That's the way to do it. You do a great job. All right, folks, you got to check out Regnery. Go to regnery.com, pick up the books, find out what's going on, but stand with them at a minimum. Stand with them in prayer where they're saying, you know what? Enough is enough. Let's get some honesty going in this process. Excellent job, Margie, once again. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's always fun to be on the show. Love talking to you.
All right, take care. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
In a time when the church faces significant cultural change, who will remind us of what really matters? Who will help us stand for the truth when the truth is no longer popular? At the 12th annual KPRZ Pastors Appreciation Luncheon on Thursday, October 5th, we have a seat reserved for you at City View Church in Mission Valley, along with every other pastor in San Diego County. Receive encouragement from an experienced leader who has walked in your shoes, one who understands the challenges you didn't learn about in seminary. Dr. Robert Jeffress is a best-selling author, the pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, and the host of Pathway to Victory, a national radio and television ministry.
The role of the pastor is more critical than it is today.
Shoulder to shoulder we stand, for there's more we have in common than what divides us. Lead on, Pastor. We're with you.
The 12th annual KPRZ Pastors Appreciation Luncheon is sponsored by San Diego Christian College and Church Design and Construction. Reserve your seat at kprz.com or on the KPRZ mobile app.
Scrapbooks need pictures. Boxes need to be unpacked. Letters need to be written. It's nearly impossible not to feel guilty when it comes to unfinished projects. Hi, I'm Cheryl Giesbrecht, and welcome to Transform Through Truth. Instead of giving up on completing projects, I think of these unfinished projects as a temporary state. I give myself permission to set them aside for a while. But when it comes to people, God has given me a special mission never to give up on His people. In order to do this, I must direct my thoughts to God more and seek His face continually. This is the only way never to give up on people. With perseverance, I trust God to work in me, and I pray for His work to continue in others. My sheep hear my voice and listen. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. That's John 10, 27 through 28. As I listen to God, I seek Him about how to love others and encourage them to take responsibility for their own growth. As you might imagine, this takes an active, not a passive stance. I must be attentive to God with sustained effort. This provides the necessary strength and determination for me to follow through. I can't forget about God or shift into neutral. My enemy never rests. The world I live in is constantly at war, so I must be alert and keep on praying. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding me to never give up. Amen.
Thanks for joining author and speaker Cheryl Giesbrecht for Transform Through Truth. Do you need prayer or free resources? Or would you like to order Cheryl Giesbrecht's new devotional book, Experiencing God Through His Names? Then go to FromAshesToBeauty.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. What an excellent job that Margie Ross did. She is just so, it just takes a lot of courage to say to the industry that you're in, no, that's it. We're not doing that anymore. And I promise that if we can get the timing done right, we can have Ed Klein on within that first week of him releasing that book. That's going to be enormous. When she's telling you we got a blockbuster, they got a blockbuster. I mean, that means the pre-orders are good. Everything's good. So we are just super happy for her. All right, and for Regnery, and people are like, well, how do you spell Regnery? R-E-G-N-E-R-Y, Regnery. I don't know why they named it that, but that's what it is. All right, let's close it out. I have a really interesting DDD. You're always learning in Scripture. You're always growing. You're always developing. You're not always doing everything right, saying everything right. Not all my feelings are right. Not all my attitude towards all the people are right. No, I don't know anybody like that that does it perfect except for Jesus. And so you continually grow and continually try and, you know, move towards the Lord. So I was reading this in the Scripture, and I've thought about it before but never took it to a deep level or anything. This is entitled No Common Use. I've never talked about this before. Acts chapter 7, verse 33. Then the Lord said to him, referring to Moses, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. So I read that in my devotions, and I thought, what does that mean? I mean, there's Moses, right? He sees the burning bush. If you remember, this is the same thing that happened to Joshua when he encountered the commander of the Lord's army. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. So the one question I had to ask, which I think you would ask, I think most people would ask this, is why? Okay. Why am I taking off my sandals? I mean, that's, I understand, but just, you know, why? I mean, there has to be something connected to it. So I, you know, prayed about it and, you know, kind of felt like I, you know, came to a few conclusions, but then did some research on it because I wanted to understand maybe from people that spent a lot of time researching it, what they came up with. And one of the best answers I have ever heard and never considered was that Moses was before the Lord in human clothing for common use. And the Lord was like, we have a new task, and this is not common clothing. It's not common use. It's new territory. It's ministry, and you're not going to be able to wear the things you wore and function the way you function, and you're not going to be able to protect yourself the way you protected yourself. I thought that was a fascinating way to look at that, for the Lord going, this is no commonplace. This is not a regular place. Remember how the Lord says it's holy? The difference between holy and unholy, or the difference between holy and not holy, is that holy is dedicated unto the Lord, fully dedicated unto the Lord, and unholy or not holy does not necessitate bad, but it means common. So one is common and one is separated to the Lord. He's like, you know what? You're not even coming in here with it. You come in here, we're starting this over. Nothing common, no clothing common, anything. Then the other commentator, and I really like this too, so just bear with me, was talking about how that with the sandals on, there was a separation between Moses and this holy space of God. And by removing the sandals, there was no physical separation. Now, ironically, in the garden, they disappeared from the Lord and clothed themselves. But here, it's him taking off his clothes, his shoes. And it's like, wow. And it's like God's going, no, no. In my presence, you hang. You don't separate, you don't hide, and you don't put on different clothing. Really cool. Just think about it. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 70-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.